So we pray. Our Father, we ask that you grant to us wisdom and insight in your word. Let there be precise and accurate knowledge. Let every heart be filled with light. In the name of Jesus. 2 Timothy 3:15. So great salvation. Or so great a salvation. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. We said that there are two major elements that are there that require close study, and the first is salvation through faith, and which is soteria, where we put it from sozo. Sozo is where you have to be preserved from danger, and then we say if there is a soteria, there must be a soter. Remember that? That is a savior. That is, the salvation is in that person. And then we spoke about faith. So, faith in Christ Jesus. And that's very important at this point that we study that. Faith in Christ Jesus. In the Greek is the word en, which presupposes a union or an inside element. So, in salvation, faith is in Christ. That is, salvation is through, don't forget preposition through, faith in Christ. Now, that's it. Look at Philippians 3:9. The word in was used so many times, and we've said it before, that it's a New Testament terminology. Right? In, him, in. New Testament is always speaking about in. How? In. I-N, which is E-N in the Greek. And it portends what is persistently there. That is, it, or better still, is permanently found there. That's why you find in Christ. If any man be in Christ, is a new creature, 2 Corinthians 5:17. In whom we have redemption, in him, in. So in is obviously something that is found or persistently or permanently seen inside. So, look at Philippians 3:9. Philippians 3:9. This is Paul speaking. He laid a premise from his practice of the law. He said, look, I have no confidence in the flesh. He now spoke about if he's going to have confidence in the flesh, and he speaks about his works. And that's why he said, we are the circumcision which worship God in the spirit. Now, he's definitely not talking about praise. He's just basically speaking about righteousness. All right? And then have no confidence in the flesh and rejoice in Christ Jesus in verse 3. Then he says that, he goes on to talk about the flesh. Then he now wraps it up in 8. Yet doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them that but dung, that I may win Christ. 9 now says, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. And be found in him. What have I found? He says, not my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. So, that is, this is what is in him. Don't forget, he says in him, he mentions the faith of Christ, faith by Jesus Christ. And it lets you see that union that the word in represents. In Christ will mean you are in union with Christ. What end will mean that when I have faith in Christ, I have, it's not just the fact that I'm trusting you to do something. It also means that I have union with the Sota. That is, we are in a union together. I'm found in Him. So if I have faith in Him, okay, that means I'm found in Him. Is that clear? So it's not just a case of I'm trusting Him, and then, you know, which is a vital element of that, but also I am found in Him. Now the Hebrew writer puts some certain things out. We're going to study a few texts this morning. I want you to really, really pay attention. Hebrews 2:3 says, therefore, verse 1 says, therefore, we ought to give more earnestly things to avail lest at any time we slip away from them or drift away. The word spoken by angels was steadfast that every transgression and disobedience receive the just recompense of the word. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? So how shall we escape if we neglect? To mark that word neglect, because we're coming back there. And that word, Hebrews 2:3 opens us up to, Hebrews 2:2-3, or maybe from verse 1-3, opens us up to the dialogue in the book of Hebrews. That is, there's a dialogue. How shall we escape? I thought we looked at a bit of that last week, right? We did last week? Okay. We'll now look at it a bit more. So, how shall we? So, that shows you there was a dialogue in the book of Hebrews. Now, the writer obviously was saved, or is saved. So, that means, in as much as he used how shall we escape, is not included in that we. Right? Come on. Do you understand what I'm saying? In as much as he used the word we, it's just an expression, a figure of speech. He's not included in that speech. At all. Now, we'll look at the Hebrews text. And then, just like he said here, look at 1 John 1:9. Stay in Hebrews, but go to 1 John 1:9. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, our is italicized, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So stay with the word if. If we confess, then the previous one that said, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we say we have not sinned, verse 10, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Let me ask you, does this include the writer? Ignore 9 and look at 8 and 10. Does the writer not have the word in him? I'm asking a question. He does. Has the writer called God a liar? No. So, definitely, whatever he's saying in 9, okay, is relative. It has a relative application. Because, obviously, just like we read Hebrews, he's not in that peak. At all. Now, look at a few other places that word, you see the word if. For example, look at Colossians. Colossians 1. Twenty-three says, if you continue in faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven. Wherefore, Paul, am made a minister. If you continue in faith. Now, what that, if we continue in faith, will be what? Because like I said, the word if, you must look at it within the use of the word. It's not every time it's a conditional statement. For example, look one more time, look at Romans 8:11. If the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you. Is that conditional? Huh? Conditional or definite? Can I say since the? Huh? So, rather, that statement is more of an absolute statement than a conditional one. Yeah, they use the word if. Are you listening? So you use the word if, but it's not a conditional statement. It just appears like that. So the word if has different expressions. Sometimes it's a conditional statement. Sometimes it presents a possibility. Sometimes it's an absolute statement. Romans 11 is absolute, right? Come on. Sometimes it presents a possibility. Sometimes it presents an impossibility. So, really, it depends. You'd have to look at the word if within the context of its use. Romans 11, like we said, is, for example, look at Romans 10. Romans 10, what's the edit? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth, and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. Now, is he asking them to confess? He wrote to those who are believers, right? So, what would be if thou shalt confess? Would that be describing an action they are taking? Or an action they ought to take. Do you understand? So, again, it presents different scenarios. Thou shalt confess the mouth of the Lord Jesus and believe in the heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Are those folks saved? So, is that statement directed to that immediate audience or relative to another audience? Okay, so in your use of words there, you must read what he's talking. That's why when you read letters, you must find out who is he talking to and then what is he talking about. Is that okay? Is that okay? So the word if can present a possibility. It can present an impossibility. For example, he says, if Christ be not raised from the dead. If the dead be not raised, they said, then you are yet in your sins. Right? And our preaching is in vain. Possibility or impossibility? Impossibility. So, you must look at the word if within the context of what is being said. Is that clear? That was 1 Corinthians 15:17, 14 to 17. So, the Hebrew text, that is the book of Hebrews, presents these scenarios that you mustn't read it and apply it in the immediate sense. Now, look at that Colossians again. Colossians 2. Actually, it'll be in two places, right? Which was the first one? Huh? Hebrews, okay. Colossians 2. Also Colossians 1. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled. Now, he couldn't have been saying, being grounded and being settled is salvation. So already, continuing the faith will present what to you? It will present spiritual growth in the faith. It will present spiritual growth. And it's not difficult. If you look Colossians 1:12, it says, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Verse 13. Who has delivered us, past tense, right? Are you there? And has trusted us in the kingdom of his own dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. So that is already past tense or past tense participle. That is something that is in the past but applies now. Okay? Do you understand? So if you now just continue, that is contradictory. So continue there will present what case? Salvation or spiritual growth? Spiritual growth. And it's not difficult again to see. Colossians 2. Colossians 2. And this is the reason why some people believe, they think, again, that when it comes to salvation, you must keep believing. You must keep believing. So, if somebody has believed, then something happens along the line. Well, what? Has he lost salvation? The loss of salvation should not even be imagined. But let us present the pictures of impossibilities. Has he lost the salvation? But he doesn't believe. Was he ever required to keep believing? Is there a requirement to keep believing? Because the minute he believes, things go into the past tense, right? The man believes, is delivered, is redeemed, is forgiven, which are past tense participles. So, the thing is, they are contradictory. You get it? Because, are you following what I'm saying? There is no keep believing. We're going to see a few things now. Keep believing. Or, so to continue there in the faith, is it continue to believe? Huh? No, no. Colossians 2. For though I be absent, verse 5, in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, because this was the only church Paul didn't visit, join and beholding your order, notice this, and the steadfastness, are you following this? And the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. So, Colossians 1:23 will be what? Steadfastness. Steadfastness of your faith in Christ. Okay? Now, look at 6. As you have therefore received Christ, or receiving Christ, received, past tense, received Christ, walk in him. So the first statement will be what? Salvation. Second will be what? Spiritual growth. So continue will be what? Spiritual growth. So when I say the steadfastness of your faith in Christ, is that holding on to your salvation or growing spiritually? Just like Philippians 2:12. Walk out your own salvation with trembling and fear, for it is God which is at work in us both to will and to do of his own good pleasure. Two different things. It is a work for your salvation. So you are already saved. Walk out your own salvation, which is what exists. Walk it out. Are you there? Are you there? Now, for there to be, are you following this? For there to be an instruction to walk out, that means there's a possibility of not walking out. For there to be an instruction to believe the gospel, that means there's also a possibility not to believe. For there to be a possibility, for there to be an instruction, again, to walk, that means you may not walk. In fact, Paul wrote to some folks, said they walk as mere men. So, that means he presents a possibility. He presents a scenario that must not be interpreted wrongly. Now, again, look at this one more time. So, don't forget, he uses the word again, rooted and built up in faith, established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. So, seven explains what he was saying. Established, rooted, okay, in the faith, and that is why he said in Colossians 1:23, settled and grounded, and not moved away from the hope of the gospel. Just like when he said, having begun in the spirit, having been born in the spirit, that's what begun in the spirit, are you now being made perfect in the flesh? Are you now maturing in the flesh? So there's already a birth, okay, the issue is now maturity, and obviously, these folks were in the flesh, that is in the works of the law. Some of them were falling from grace, which doesn't mean you lost your salvation, it just means that you are not walking in the finished work of Jesus Christ. You are not walking in the fulfillment of the promise of the old covenant. That's what he was saying. So, whenever that is presented to us, we mustn't think in any way that the apostle, that's going to be contradictory, that the apostle is talking about a continuing walk so that you can have salvation. That will make salvation a reward. Not a walk of faith. Are you listening? To be a reward and not a walk of faith. That said, okay? So, that means the word if presents different scenarios. Am I right? Come on. Okay, so, go to Hebrews 3. Hebrews 3. Verse 6. But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. Hebrews 3:6. So he says, whose house are we if we hold fast? That means we will become his house when we hold fast. Are you following? Are you following what I'm saying? We'll become his house. Because that's the way, you know, that's grammatically incorrect. He didn't say, he should have said, whose house we shall be. Are you listening? So, he presents a definitive, whose house are we if we are. Contradictions in grammar, right? Hey, are you there? Are you reading what I'm saying? Whose house are we if we are? It should be whose house we shall be if we, looking at a normal conditional use of if we, whose house we shall be. If we continue, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. So, Hebrews 3:6 presents another scenario to us. Hebrews 3:14. For we are made partakers of Christ, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. So we have the word end in two places. Okay? Are you following? Now, in the book of Hebrews, where did he use the word, who did he use the word end for? Where you have, it's where you have perfect to get to the end. Okay? So, we have two scenarios. The we, if we hold fast our confidence to the end. Now, there's something in language where there's a passive. You know, there's a passive and active term. Passive will mean, if I say things like, he passed by me, or he came by me. Even though there's a by me in that sentence, I am passive in that scene. I only witnessed it. But he coming is active, right? Right? Okay. Now, there's an active tense and there's a passive one. The word, when it says, if we hold fast the confidence, don't forget again, we said that word, when it says, if we might not necessarily relate with the writer. Are you following? Might not necessarily relate with the writer. So, if we, again he says, today if you hear his voice, if you hear his voice, is he talking to himself or to a people? Huh? Those who hear his voice, at the point this was said to them, were they believers? Huh? No. Look at Hebrews 4:1. Let us therefore fear lest a promise being left of entering into his rest, any of you should seem come. Now, look how we started. Let us therefore fear that any of you. So Hebrews 4:1, it now says, which we have believed, verse 3, we have entered into his rest. So it presents two different sets of people that he's talking about. So when he says, here, if we hold fast our confidence to the end, that is a closure, the end becomes the result of the faith. Are you following that? Are you following that? To the end. It becomes the result of the faith. Now, Hebrews 3:6 again. For Christ has won over his own house, whose house we are. If we hold fast, so the we will be what? The first we, believers. Are you following this? The second we will be what? Those who are called to believe. Because the next statement refers to those who should not add in their hearts when they hear the gospel. Do you understand what I'm saying? Is it clear? Let's go over it again. Why? Let's take it one more time. When he says, let us therefore fear, lest the promise of entering into his rest, any of you should seem short of it. It makes a distinction. Then he says that we which have believed, can he be talking to the people in verse 1 that he will come short of it? He says, we which have believed, we do enter. So it makes a distinction. Are you following? So, in making that distinction, that means all the while, he was addressing believers and non-believers. Are you following this? Huh? If the word preached did not profit them, okay, in that it was not mixed through faith in them that heard it. So that means there were two scenarios. He was talking about those in Kadesh Barnea, the Jews who left Egypt when the gospel came to them. So he was making a comparison. So within those letters, he was talking about those who believed and those who did not believe. So obviously, those who heard the gospel, okay, in numbers or in Kadesh Barnea, the Jews, those who believed, they held fast their confidence to what? To the end. Now, did they wait till Jesus came? No. Do you understand what I'm saying? That means they believed to this end. There is a particular end he's talking about. And that means what they held fast their confidence, they were confident They believed in the end result, which is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. So they without us were not made perfect. They were talking about the same set of people in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 9 and 40. So, obviously, that scripture has two people. Hebrews 3:6. It has you who has believed now, and those whom the gospel was preached to, you know, then. Do you get it? Do you understand what I'm saying? So, he has two set of people he's referring to at the same time. Is that clear? So, Hebrews 3:6 and Hebrews 3, just like he said, if we neglect so great salvation. Is he talking about himself? No. Now, if we sin willfully, himself, Hebrews 3:6, that's not him. That's not him. Because it says, we are not of them who draw back, but who believe. I explain that to you. This is not, he's talking about the old. We are of them who believe to the saving of the soul. So, obviously, Hebrews 10:26 is used if we sin willfully. What's he talking about himself? Again, he's presenting the possibilities of those who will hear the message and not believe. This is the consequence. Is that clear? Is that clear? Very fine. So, you must always treat the word if carefully, not to always see it as a condition. Sometimes a possibility, sometimes an impossibility. Sometimes it's just a condition, like we normally do in normal English. So, what was the result? Habakkuk 2:4, the just shall live by faith. Remember that? By faith. So he didn't say whose house we shall be, whose house we are. So if we hold fast our confidence steadfastly to the end, that will be who? Rejoicing. That is not the believer today. Because he already said whose house we are. He didn't say whose house we shall be. Are you following me? So it presents a present tense, then it presents a conditionality, which obviously refers to say that's why he said in verse 7, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart as in the day of provocation. Do you understand? Do you understand this? So, faith in the continuous is not faith for salvation, it is faith from salvation. It's not faith of salvation. It's faith from salvation. Faith for salvation, pardon me. Faith from salvation. Look at Romans 4. Verse 1. What shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, has found? What did he find? Now, last week we painted this. We said that Habakkuk said the just shall live by his faith, right? Habakkuk did some study on that. And we said Habakkuk obviously was repeating Genesis 15:6. Abraham believed God. It was counted to him for righteousness, accounted to him, reckoned to his account. So, what did we say Abraham, our father, has found? Bad English. It should be what was found in Abraham. That's what was found in him. That means the word found there is search. What was found? That we will find it by checking or obtain. So we have two says. The word is Heurusko in the Greek, Heurusko. It's either you saw it or you obtained it. Okay? So, we have two scenarios. It's either we found that in Abraham or Abraham found it. Or we obtained it in Abraham or Abraham obtained it. Now you see where I'm going in a moment. And which is a verb. Is a verb. So it explains itself in verse 3. For the scripture says, Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Abraham believed God. See the word if again in verse 2. If Abraham were justified by works, he wasn't justified by works. It was an impossibility being presented. Do you understand? Do you understand? Verse 2. Now verse 3 says, for what said the scripture, Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. The word believe God there is pisteuo, P-I-S-T-E-U-O, which is a past tense participle. Past tense participle. That is, Abraham believed. And that goes with every time you hear the gospel. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Not he that will keep believing. No continual test that. Then John 1:6, as many as received him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God, even to them, John 1:12, that believe on his name. John, that's what John 1:12, John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So notice that the word have or has lets you know that the believing is once. If he says, will have, or Abraham believed God, it shall be accounted unto him, he shall be justified, that shows that he probably has to keep believing, but Abraham believed, and therefore he has. Do you understand what I'm saying? So that believing will be one, an act or a continuous action. Huh? How do you know it? By what was gotten. Okay? So it's an act. When you believe, you have everlasting life. John 5:24. You pass from death to life. You don't come to judgment. So, obviously, the believing is not a continuous series of actions, but an action you took. And so, everything that comes with that action becomes yours. Everlasting life. The sota, you are now found in the sota. That is, you are now found in the Savior. From just an action. Are you listening? So let's continue from that. So, same way that you see his walk, he saves, he has saved, okay? You are forgiven, you are accepted, past tense participle. Why? Because you have, not that you will believe. Is you have believed. So all the tenses point to the fact that faith for salvation is an action. It's not a continuous set of actions. Is someone listening to what I'm saying? Let me go elementary so that it will be clear. How many times do you believe the gospel? Once. And how many times do you get saved when you believe the gospel? Once. Okay? Now, can an action after that undo the first action? That is the issue. Now, it will depend on what the first action resulted into. If the first action resulted into, pay attention, if the first action resulted into his Savior and into his intercessory work, okay, and into the seal of the Spirit, that already brings a closure. Because certain things came by that action that brought a closure. Eternal life. Sealed. That brings a closure. If those things were futuristic, then an action can undo them. Do you understand what I'm saying? Huh? For example, the rapture. I explained this on Sunday, I hope I did. That what we call the rapture is not heaven. The rapture is a work of the Spirit within. So, it is still the benefit of that action you took. It's not like a different thing. There is no believing anybody does again. That's why I said, if the Spirit of Him that raised up Christ from the dead dwells in you, He will quicken, you get it, by His Spirit that dwells in you. So that action, just like Abraham's believing was once. Because we found out later that Abraham had his own doubts. He had things he did. He had, you know, up and down, down and up, you know, this and that. And we found out that he had his doubts. He had things he did also. That, but the point was that he was already justified. You get it? By an action he took. And every time you hear about Abraham being justified and believing, it is only referred to that action. Are you following me? Is it clear? So, let's proceed further. In 1 John 5:13, you have what you call egagmia. I consulted 5 reliable Greek materials and I found out that there was a conflict on this text. I don't have it, but they did. What I normally do is that when I have those kind of challenges, I just go through, you know, the entire material again and say, well, this is again. That's why you don't rely on, okay, when I get this material, you know, it's all that I need for revelation knowledge. That's not true. In 1 John 5:13, this is I write unto you that you may be, that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Now, where the King James, I know the King James slanted this. They put it in a slanting form, italicized. New King James, pardon me. King James did not. And it was a bit curious because King James normally will put such words in italics, just like, but I found out that was not the only text they did not italicize. Okay? There was one more that I found out they didn't italicize. And that is Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. And it says, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Obviously, that text was never there. So, I said, well, let me see, what happened? Why would you repeat it in 2 and repeat it again in verse 5? Right? Is it verse 5? Huh? Is it 5? Why? What is the point? Because it was repeated. Is it verse 5? Huh? Why would you have to repeat it? You know. So, again, then 1 John 5, it looks contradictory, 1 John 5. 1 John 5 says, this is a writer that believe on the name of the Son of God, pistio, that you may know that you what? You have, right? Talk to me. Are you there? Eternal life. If you look at John 20:31, it says, this is I write unto you, that believing through his name, you might have. So obviously from John 20:31, it says, when you believe, you have everlasting life. So that means, in 1 John 5:13, John was letting clear that when you believe the gospel, you have everlasting life. Are you following what I'm saying? Are you listening? Then the previous text, he that has the Son, what? Has. He that has not the Son doesn't have. So, obviously, he puts having eternal life in what? Future tense or past tense? Past tense, but that's just present day. So, it's future. So, why would you not say believe? Is he saying Now, if I'm going to believe on his name again, that means I'll believe on his name to have. Are you following what I'm saying? Are you following what I'm saying? That's trans correlation. So I said, what could have happened? So obviously, the King James, knowing the slant of the translators, knowing where they are leaning, they used a particular text that had, you know, the way these things were, when they were written, you know, people were lost in transit. So they were bringing parchments together. So obviously, just like some text, just like Romans 8:1 definitely was a mistake. Do you understand? Are you following what I'm saying? That 8:1 is a mistake. It's a mistake in the, when you say original, original has original. Okay, let me pause here. Original has original. So I said, let me look a bit more and say, because how you would detect, you see, is it something you can detect error in a text by looking at it well. Nobody will present a text as to contradict. At that point, you will question it. So obviously, there was a mistake. Who has other transitions? I know. Maybe RSV. Well, you need to read the footnotes, I think. It says, okay, the footnote says, omit the rest of this verse. That is, it's omitted. You get it? That's what I was going. Someone slanted it. It was omitted. Why did he omit it? Because it's contradictory. Now, the slant of those who, the lean of those who translated that, they have, I told you that King James was translated by people who had Calvinist orientation. Right? So, they have this thing called perseverance of the faith, where they say you know a believer by the fact that he will hold on, that what they would tell you, eternal security of salvation is that you will hold on to the very end. So what is secure in that? You know, they have a sort of way they preach works. And they will still say they are talking grace. So, to the very end. So obviously that text is contradictory. Are you listening? So obviously, like I said, Romans 8:1 is a mistake. There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. Okay? That's all. Verse 2. Who walk around by the flame of the Spirit for love, through life, guys, because that one is contradictory. Say, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made them free from the law of sin and death. What the law could not do, now. So, obviously, by the time you get to 5, you will see the walk he's talking about. The walk proceeds from the freedom that is in Christ. Not that the walk, by the time you live in 8:1 will make that no condemnation comes from the walk. But 8:5 says the walk comes from no condemnation. Do you understand? Do you understand? Just like saying, walk out your salvation with children and fear. That means there is salvation. So you are saved. So the walking comes from the fact that you are already saved. So 1 John 5:13. Do you know the thing is this? I wrote unto you that you may continue to believe. You know there is nowhere John ever wrote in the whole book that you should believe. In that whole material, there is nowhere John said so. He could not have written to you to believe. He never said so. Are you following what I'm saying? Okay, I was saying, so where was it gotten from? This was the conclusion I have. I may change it tomorrow. I will change the fact that it was an error. I believe it was when it was being copied. It was wrongly copied. Okay? It was wrongly copied. Because you know those things were copied. So, from the earlier text, the earlier one, where it was copied from, that B part was not there. Praise God. Now, don't have a problem with your Bible. It's just a minor issue. It's a minor matter. Really. If I didn't have a Greek orientation, okay, I would still know it is not supposed to be there. So what I'm doing basically is, when a lawyer knows somebody is not guilty, then he finds a way to let you see it. Do you understand? It's obvious that it is not supposed to be there. Are you following what I'm saying? Because it's contradictory. John never asked anybody to believe. In fact, what he said, he says, this is the commandment Jesus gave to us that we should believe. That's what he said. That we should believe and love one another. And he says, who is he that is born of God? He that believes that Jesus is the Christ, is born of God. Then verse 4 says, verse 4 now tells us that whatever is born of God overcometh the world. You know, so it was very definite about believing and being born of God and having eternal life. So that verse 13 is contradictory. And this is the confidence that we have in Him. Hallelujah. Is that very clear? So that shows that there was, but like I said, because there are other more reliable texts, King James was not the Bible Paul used. King James is 1611 translation. So that means that there were people did not use King James for 1611 years. Is that okay? Don't say, where did the mistake come from now? This is the Holy Spirit. Calm down. 1611 translation. And don't mind me, it is still my favorite translation. I was seeing, was there somewhere I was showing message translation? Let me leave message out. There was a year I took on message translation. And I've left it. Message translation. It's written for some people. It's an expression. So, 1 John 5, was that very clear? 1 John 5:1. Whosoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loves him, that begets, loves him also that is begotten of him. Past participle, believed. So, pistuo here, faith, is not infinite. Is it infinite or definite? Definite verb. Believe. Believe the message, believe the gospel, believe in Jesus. Definite. That's why a man may not believe in miracles and he's saved. A man may not even believe that salvation is eternal. Because if you say you must believe that salvation is eternal, you must believe that means it's an indefinite believing. Focus, definitive article, pistuon in Christ. That's why, no matter how you heard the gospel, some of you heard it like, you don't want to go to hell, that, born here, and you believe. I don't question the fact that you're not, I remember my friend, we used to joke that, I know that when the gospel was preached to me, hell was mentioned, but the key thing that was told to us was that Jesus died for us. And then, the brother preaching talked about, the peace of God, and we have peace with God and all that. So we used to talk to ourselves that I heard the most genuine of all the gospels. I said, you, and this was it. On the day you got saved, they were showing bunny head. So said, you are not Christian. You're not Christian. We used to joke about it. But the thing is this, that as long as the element of Jesus is in the message, just like those folks in the Old Testament who believed in the promissory note of Jesus, and they are saved. So, as long as the message does not deny the divinity, humanity of Jesus and his resurrection, it doesn't have to be the precise understanding. There must be precision. Did they talk about reconciliation? Was the new creation mentioned? Calm down. Did Paul know anything like that when he got saved? No, he didn't. Are you following me? That's why the believing has to be definite and not infinite. Do you get it? Do you understand what I'm saying? You'll find those who believe. There's some guys that even believe, and they will tell you the rapture has passed. I said, that cannot be a Christian. Mm-mm. They believe in Jesus. You get it? Though they were in Paul's church too. Right? In fact, some said there is no resurrection, no rapture. So they heresy. It's an heresy, definitely. An heretic can be a Christian. But most heretics are Christian. It takes a Christian to be an heretic. Do you understand? Okay? So some said it is past. Others say it doesn't exist. Do you understand? You know, you can say, they're not believers. That means you have moved faith from definitive to infinite. I must shall keep believing. I must believe. How many things did you know when you got saved? Was it a teaching meeting? Are you following what I'm saying? Do you know where we are going? I hope you are learning something very well what I'm saying. Oh. May the eye of the time be enlightened. If this is your first time in this series, then you don't know where. You should know what I'm saying. So, faith for salvation is not infinitely done. Open. It is an action. Look at how many times. Let me give you an example. Some of us, how many times were you slaughtered at the altar? Over and over again. Do you know we can count your second altar call as unbelief? You are quiet now. Say, well, what about if somebody starts believing? Did you not stop believing? You said you were saved and you came out again. Is that not true? But were you saved when you came out again? Huh? No. When you came out a saved man. Is that what I'm saying? Okay, are you following this? So faith for salvation is what? Definite? Some of you till date. Imagine you don't know your birthday. What's your birthday? I was first born. That's born again. I was first born. In fact, some of you were born 5 times a week. Because of lack of knowledge. I was saying this in a meeting yesterday that when you don't know, you just be moving around. When I saw that, I said, what does God do? Do this one. As we are preaching this one, they say there's something else. That's all you have done. So, there's more. Are you saying there's something else? Have you done this? And it seems like every preacher was just looking for what we don't, what we are not doing. There was one guy that was doing deliverance. One man, sorry. Not a guy. By the time he listed what needs deliverance, even he himself will be part of it. He said, if anybody in the last 5 years of your family line, if they married out, if they actually outside my marriage, in Africa. I took a guy up there and he went to school. I said, what is marriage? Now said, in fact, one said that if the marriage was not collected in church, that child needs deliverance. I said, you have to start with Jesus. You know, because me, I like to think. I'm not so smart, so I like to think. Those who are very smart, they don't think. But I'm not smart. So I like to think. So the believing, it must be, for what is received is definite. So the believing has to be what? Definite. Are you listening? So calm down, some of your disciples, okay? Romans 4:3. Abraham believed God just like Ahmed believed God. Okay? And it was accounted unto him for righteousness. Believed God. Okay? Notice the believe used for Abraham were definitive. You learning something here? Abraham believed. Verse 3. Verse 5. Believes on him that justifies the ungodly. His faith is counted for righteousness. That is one action. It's definite. It's counted for righteousness. Verse 7. Verse 8. For we say that that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. Do you know that every time they talk about this righteousness of Abraham, they only quote one verse? Assuming they were, that's the mistake people made with James. James was talking about spiritual growth. That Abraham, that there was now proof. Okay? But they thought James was talking about salvation. What's talking about salvation? We're talking about works. That if there is a belief and somebody comes to you. And if I was talking to Christians, if somebody has come to you and the person says, I need money, I need food, say bless you. Said that where then is the corresponding action to your faith? He's not saying you don't believe. He's actually saying that you should walk out your salvation. That's what he's saying. Are you listening to what I'm saying? He now gave Abraham the example. And the example, he mentioned Abraham believing God, but he now used an example that when Abraham took Isaac out to Mount Moriah, that was a demonstration of the fact that he had believed. Do you understand? That there was a walk to his faith. He's not saying, it was not when Abraham took Isaac to Mount Moriah that he was justified. Was that when he was justified? No. But that was when his works were justified. Just like you are justified now, but at the throne of Jesus, at the mercy seat of Christ, at the judgment seat of Christ, your works will be justified or disqualified. Is that clear? Is that very clear? So the same way, faith is definite. It has to be definite. When you believe, you are saved. When you believe, you are justified. Not you shall be justified. Okay? Acts 6:31. Paul and the jailer. What must I do to be saved? Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved, you and your house. Or household. Romans 10:8-10, the one we read earlier. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart, God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Saved? Pastors. Is that okay? Is that okay? So, we can have folks who are saved. Come somewhere. We can have folks who are saved and they will live in unbelief. Right? What do you call the person who comes out for altar call? Is he in unbelief or just being sincere? The second time. Is he in unbelief or just being sincere? Both. He's sincerely in unbelief. Do you understand? He's sincerely in unbelief. He has believed. Are you following what I'm saying? This is a very quiet example, but I remember my late brother, he had very bad manners. You know, I know that. So somebody was trying to talk to him. So every time the person talks to me, he will explain scripture to the person. I said the truth is this. He knows something that many who come out for altar calls don't know. He's not a good Christian, no doubt. In fact, I don't think he will have any work that will not burn. Okay? That's the truth. But you see, he knew. He will give an altar call and he will come out. Are you following my point? He would. He knew then that faith was an action for salvation. He knew. If I remember, he said, look, he now re-explained righteousness through faith. That it is not gotten. He said you should separate, and the person was a pastor, and he said, separate the works said she looked at it. This was what he explained to her. He said, Ephesians 2 is that you should do it very well. He said, by grace I said, not of working on those. He said, that you are the workmanship. That those are two different things. That you walk in them. That don't forget the first one you already said. Now it's now to walk in. That is little. I think you know what I taught him. He knows. So when we are talking, I don't talk about just saying you are something's wrong with you. I just have to give him time. Do you understand? He never had the time. But the truth is this, he's better off than most people come out of call. Why are you coming out again? What are you responding to? Do you understand? Do you know that Caleb and Joshua just had to believe once? That's all. Do you know before then, Moses was interceding for all of them, including Caleb and Joshua. But they got their chance. As they believed once, like they became champions. Just once. Are you following my point? Let's leave that. Look at 2 Timothy 2. Now, this is the text. Really, this is where we are going. 2 Timothy 2. So, faith for salvation is definitive. Right? It's not a continuing faith. Okay? Now, if you had a demon around you about sleeping, tell the demon to excuse you for some time. You need this period. Okay? I believe it will understand. 2 Timothy 2. It's a faithful saying, if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abides faithful, he cannot deny himself. I recall, I will never forget this testimony somebody gave. The things scared me as a young Christian. I just saved them in 1989. And it scared me. He said, there was one guy that he went to Russia and he's a believer. So they wanted to kill him. So, as they wanted to kill him, they said, you should deny Jesus. Say Jesus is not Lord. So because he didn't want to die, he now said it. And they left him alone. And the other guy, who was a soldier, now saw, he now took off his clothes, said, I want to stand for Jesus, something like that. So that guy, as he was just leaving, that he was in the snow, that a bear just ate him. And he said, wait now. And I said, deny Jesus. Because I can recall, before that, I called that same year, because I was in secondary school, I didn't go for fellowship. So the guy now asked me, he's a backsliding Christian actually. He now came and said, you can't come here. Why are you not going for fellowship? Your fellowship is not on school timetable. So I thought you had no fellowship. I said, yes. He said, are you not born again? I said, not anymore. Because I want to go and play football. He said, I'm not born again. Wait now. He now gave both of us 6 strokes. Go to the fellowship. God, I'm with you. We are going to the fellowship. So when I heard that story, I said, I've done this thing before. That I did for a while. Now look at that scripture. If we deny him, he will deny us. Are you there? All right, let's look at what it means. It's a faithful saying. So he says, of these things, put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Now, let's look at what he was saying. He said, it is a faithful saying. Okay? The word saying there, or faithful, is pistos, It means an adjective actually, pistos, P-I-S-T-O-U-S. Of course, you know, they all are around pistis, pistos, they are all around the same grammatical connotation. So here it's talking about reliable. That is a reliable saying. Okay? The word saying is logos. Logos means reasoning or speech. Paul uses it again in 1 Timothy 1:5. This is, now this saying, you won't find it anywhere in the Bible. The way it is written. That means this is a faithful saying. That is a faithful, a reliable analogy. Or a reliable speech. 1 Timothy 1:5 is a faithful saying or worthy of all acceptation. That Christ came to this world. Okay? 1 Timothy 1:15. Christ came to this world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Worthy of all acceptation. Is a noun. Is the word apodoche. Acceptation. Acknowledgement. That means it's being used well. Of whom I am chief. So, Paul is not quoting from any Old Testament text. He's just saying, just like, you know, sometimes we say some things and it is reliable. E.W. Kenyon once said, righteousness is the nature of God. No, righteousness is the ability, that's what he called it, to stand before God without a fear of guilt or inferiority or sin consciousness. That is a saying. It's a reasoning with the scriptures. Are you listening? That means there's a reasoning with the scriptures that makes us say this. For example, Pastor Christopher Akilomena said, it is the nature of God imparted into the human spirit. It's a faithful saying. You find what he's saying, by the time you put things together in scripture, is reliable. But the Hagin will say, righteousness means right standing with God. It's also reliable. Are you following this? Now, was a faithful saying and worthy of acknowledgement. That is, we should acknowledge this. The word acknowledgement there is not epignosis. It just means something we, so the word acceptation there, it means to acknowledge, something that we all accept. So, let's look at what he was saying. Now, we'll see. He says, worthy of all acceptation. The first scenario, now, every other thing there is good, except we start reading, if we suffer, if we deny, if we believe not. So the first theory there is this. He is referring to his warning believers about not losing their salvation. That's a theory. Huh? Are you following this? He will deny us that. You will just show up and then he will say, sorry, I never knew. You know that song? Yeah, the way you got born again. Now look at Matthew 10, where there's a text like that. Matthew 10:33. And whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Let me say this. I will deny before my Father which is in heaven. If you look at the text, he was talking to those that he will send to preach. We'll bring it back in a moment. He will send his disciples out and he was telling them the cost of discipleship. Okay? That he will abandon everything he does for my sake. He will have this. He will have that. So, it was in the breath of that that he said this before that. Now, this is not the same thing as Matthew 7. Matthew 7. Do you know that we assume that I will deny him means he will lose his salvation? We just assume it. Okay? But look at Matthew 7. Let's look at Matthew 7, 23, which is where it says, some will come to me in that day. Matthew 7, 23. Are you there? Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? In thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. Then I will say unto them, I never knew you. I never knew you. I looked at the word, and I saw how strong Jesus said it. I never knew you there. Is absolutely, absolutely, absolute. There are two words. Haudepote in the Greek. A-U-D-E-P-O-T. That is, it was separated. That never was separated. There are two different words that the King James just put them together. Now, the word I never means, the word pote is the word not at any time. At all. How there is not. So that is not at any time. So he's not talking about those who backslid. Are you listening? Are you listening? Not at any time did I know you. Which is the Greek word ginosko. I did not have knowledge of you. I never knew you. It's not that you used to be a Christian, then you lost it. Hodepote means not at any time did we have knowledge, did I have knowledge of you. Are you following this? Are you following this? So, it's just like when he says, when the devil was cast out, Matthew 9:33, the word out they put it. The dumb spoke and the multitude marveled, saying it was never so seen in Israel. Same out they put it. Never so seen. So that is not that I stopped relating with you. That is, I never at a point. So this is not his text for apostasy or something you think at all. So this text will either be for two set of people, either false conversion or false prophets, right? Right? Then, did he endorse the fact that they did those things in his name? No. Remember he said money that many will come in my name and do mighty works. Can you remember? Can you remember that? Many will come. Now, could you say that those people are Christians? No, no. I never knew means that it was false conversion. They were never Christians. So, that's not the same thing here. Are you following? He said, you that walk iniquity. Ekazoma in the Greek, E-R-G-A-Z-O-M-A-I. It means a regular practice. Iniquity means to break the law, anomai, N-A-N-O-M-I-A. Which definitely Jesus was referring to the Old Testament. To break the law. Egazomai in the Greek. Are you following? Now that word, iniquity, you see it, they use it in Romans 4:7. And it says, forgiving. Talking to the believer, it says forgiving. Romans 4:7. When that is used for the believer, it's forgiving him. Whose iniquities are forgiven. In Romans 6:19. Iniquity, talking about the old man. Romans 6:19, 2 Corinthians 6:14. The unbeliever there is mentioned, 2 Corinthians 6:14, on righteousness. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 3 to 7. 3 and 7, sorry. The man of sin shall be revealed. Then verse 7, the mystery of iniquity. At no point does it refer to believers. Hebrews 1:9. Thou lovest righteousness and hated iniquity. Talking about Jesus. Then Hebrews 10:17. Your iniquities have I forgiven. So it always uses it in the forgiving tense with the believer. So Matthew 7 does not in any way talk about a believer. Is that clear? Is that clear? Obviously, Jesus is speaking to folks who were still under the law. That's why I use the word anomai again for them, and he says, I never knew you. 1 John 3:4. Whosoever commits sin transgresses also the law, for sin is a transgression of the law. So, like we said, of course, Matthew 7 definitely is not talking about Christians who backslid or who are not growing or who are not, you know, definitely not. Matthew 7 is basically talking about, in fact, if you read the preceding text, he's talking about false prophets. He said, in our Jesus now by five, he that hears my words and does not do them is likened to a man who built his house upon the sand. Of course, that is somebody who was never saved. He never heeded to the gospel. Is that clear? Is that okay? Okay, fine. So, go back to 2 Timothy 2 again. So those who hold 2 Timothy 2 as in tandem with Matthew 7 are definitely in error because he definitely does not refer, one, to those who are believers and maybe are backsliding as we say, but obviously it must have been a warning not to go astray, which is not, you know, out of place in the Pauline letters. Before we go there, look at 1 John 2. 1 John 2. 1 John 2, 18, 28. Now, let us abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed at his coming. And not be ashamed at his coming. That word, ashamed at his coming, is a Greek word, A-I-S-C. Aichuno, A-I-S-C-H-U-N-O. It refers to shrink in size. Literally, it's used for to shrink in size. That is, when you are not confident about yourself. Obviously, it's referring to the believer and his works. Philippians 1:20, 1 Timothy, 1 Peter 4:16, Luke 16:3, Luke 16:3. Philippians 1:20, 1 Peter 4:16, 2 Corinthians 10:8. To shrink in size is not a loss, it's a shrink. It's not a loss. I think I have a text like that in Proverbs 29:15, an Old Testament text. Okay. The rod and reproof gives wisdom, but a child left to himself brings his mother to shame. Is the Hebrew word, Proverbs 29:15, of the word aichuno. It means shame. That, you can't lift your eyes to talk. That this is, you know, it doesn't mean you have lost the child, right? Huh? Come on. It just means that he has done something worthy of blame. It's not a loss of salvation. When it says that we may not be ashamed at his coming. So obviously, his coming there refers to the judgment of believers. Are you listening? Is that clear? Okay. So, 2 Timothy 2 again, verse 11. You learning something? 2 Timothy 2:11. It's a faithful saying. So, this can be an in or just a normal thing. Give me an example of something that we say here that we rely on. The Bible is Christ-centered. It's a faithful saying. Right? What else? Eh? What is it? I say, that's a faithful saying. Right? It's reliable. Right? And so this can either be an him, or a saying. Alright? So, now in Greek language, there is, I want you to listen very well. Whenever you have positives and negatives mixed up in sentences, you will have to pick out that saying. Okay? Then, match the words very well. You match the words, because that saying is in how many verses? 11, 12, and 13. Right? Okay, so let's leave that saying out. So that we can understand what he's saying. We'll leave that saying out. Obviously, the conclusion is this. What is the conclusion? If we believe not, yet he abides faithful, he cannot deny himself. So, what is Jesus, for example, in eternity, is judge. So, he will remain a faithful judge. Is that okay? Is that what it means? That is, he will remain a faithful judge, carrying out his threat in Matthew 10:33. If you deny me, just wait for me. I'll be faithful. I will deny you. And that's the way to look at it. If you deny me, Matthew 10:33, I will deny you. So, go to heaven, and then Jesus looks at you. There's a gate to pass. They say no. Look at Jesus. Sir. Yeah. Just shakes his head. Look at this very well. All those movies have not helped us with our Bibles. Let's look at this. You only get this thing by looking at the structure. There's a way it was structured. That means Paul put that saying in the midst of something he was saying. He was teaching something, they now drop a reliable saying in the light of what he was saying. Are you following? Are you following this? It will make sense now. 2 Timothy 2:1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace which is in Christ Jesus. Right? 2 Timothy 2:1, just the verses before. And the things that you have heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit unto faithful men, which shall be able to teach others also. Now, listen to this girl. Thou therefore endure what? As a good soldier of Jesus Christ, no man that warreth entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may what? Please him who has chosen to be a soldier. And if a man also strives for masteries, when did you, have you read that somewhere? Somewhere in Paul's letters. 1 Corinthians 9, I think. Oh, you don't know? Who strives for the masteries? He's not crowned except he strives what? Lawfully. Look at the word crowned. Crowned. The husbandman that laboreth must be the first partaker of the fruit. So he has used two examples for us. Or three. He used one, a soldier who will please his master. Then he used, what else? An athlete who must run lawfully to be rewarded. Then the last one, he uses a farmer who will be the first partaker of his fruit. Are you following this? So in all the three scenarios, reward for labor, reward for work, are you following? Very fine. So, next verses will make sense. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble. Are you listening to this? As an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Therefore, I endure all things for the work's sake, that they may, not me, also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. So, what was he discussing? Persecutions and suffering for the gospel's sake. Was that what he was discussing? Endure hardness. Suffering. Are you listening? So back up to 1 Corinthians 9. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 9. There are some texts that are not for the believers. You get it? You're a believer that you just go to church every Sunday. Don't read that place. Don't be going. You're already suffering enough. 1 Corinthians 9. See what he was saying. You know, 27 says, if I keep my body under, I keep under my body and put it in subjection, lest by any means, when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway. This is a prayer point. Remember, I was made a group leader one time. I was supposed to pray. And God said, let us pray this. But then, after we have preached unto others, imagine your convert in heaven and you are in hell. Brethren, this will not be your portion in Jesus' name. And we're praying. Let us be a castaway. Let us be a castaway. You know? Are you not doubting? You yourself are doubting. So we misunderstood that again because we refuse to obey the law of simple read, which is contextual study. Obviously, he started talking about preaching the gospel. He said, verse 16, though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for the necessity is it upon me, yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. But if I do this willingly, I have what? A reward. Are you following this? I have a reward, but if against my will, a dispensation is still committed to me. What is then my reward? Verily, when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I may not abuse my power in the gospel. Though I be free from all men, have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain them all. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I may gain them that are under the law. To them that are without the law, as without the law, being not without law to God, but unto the law of Christ, to law to Christ, that I may gain them that are without the law. To the weak became I as weak, and I made all things to all men that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I may be partaker thereof with. He didn't mention you. Verse 24. Know ye not that they which run in a race. Now, what is he talking about? He's talking about his work for the Lord, his service, in a race, run all. But one receives what? The price. Are you following? Are you following that? The word price here is prabelio, prabehio in the Greek. There's a, I think it's a P-A-R-A-B-E-I-O-N. I'm not sure I got that spelling right. It means a reward. Verse 25, you have the word Stephanos, you know that, that is crown. Stephanos is used for crown. A crown. 25. A crown, incorruptible crown, which is used for a price, pardon me, a price. Is used for tests. No, sorry, a crown. I'll forget that. For a test. Now, that word in 27 says, if I preach not the, he said, after I preach, I become a castaway. Castaway is disqualified. Adokimos in the Greek, A-D-O-K-I-M-O-S, is used for tests and trials. That is when you test things. This is not okay. That's not okay. Now, obviously, that can't be salvation because salvation is by grace through faith. Do you understand? Are you following this? So he's talking about works. So what will be disqualified, you see it now, will be the works of the man, what he has done. So I say, if I preach the gospel, notice, if I preach the gospel, the sentence is laid upon me. Say, but if I do it willingly, then I have a reward. Is that okay? Now, look at that. That word crown, Stephanos, you see it in Philippians 4:1. Philippians 4:1. You are my joy, my crown. He's talking to people as his crown. His prize. 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 19. And 20. You are our glory, you are our joy. Means, for what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? So it's again talking about man has his crown. 2 Timothy 4:8. Laid before me, laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but to all them that love is appearing. Okay. James 1:12. Blessed is the man that endures temptation against tests and trials. So every time you read it as a result of work, is a result of tests and trials. Trials for work. When he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to them that love him. Are you following me? Huh? So crown there is figurative, okay? Okay? It's figurative of reigning. Is that clear? Are you following? 1 Peter 5:4. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, we shall receive a crown of glory that fades not. Notice again, he's talking to ministers. So every time he's mentioning that word crown, he's referring to the work of ministry. Have you noticed that? It was only James that talked about trials, brethren. When Paul talked about it in Philippians 4:1, ministry. 1 Thessalonians 2:19, ministry. Are you following? 1 Corinthians 9, ministry. Are you listening? 1 Peter 5, Peter used again for shepherds, pastors, ministry. Verse 4. 2 Timothy 4:8. I have finished my course, I have fought the good fight. He was talking to Timothy as touching, preaching the gospel and not giving heed to the end time, you know, deviation of people, you know, following itching ears. And he says, you know, fight the good fight of faith, fulfill your ministry. You know, so again, the view is ministry. Are you listening? Good. In the book of Revelation, you will see it used, I'll just mention it. Revelation 2:10. Revelation 3:11, 4:4, I say 2:10, 3:11, 3:11, 4:4, 4:10, Revelation 6:2, Revelation 9:7, 12:1, and 14:4. 2:10, 3:11, 4:4, 4:10, 6:2, 9:7, 12:1, and 14:4. Again, you see that it is used figuratively. People have asked me, what kind of crowns? Some people have four crowns. Stop thinking like that. It's not talking about a day. It's just saying a reward. That's a figurative expression, Stephanos, of a price, of something you have worked for. Okay? Is that okay? Of something you have worked for. So, that's what crown means. Just like when Jesus was crowned for, he was crowned with what? He was crowned with the name. The name above every name. Look at Philippians 3:14. Brethren, verse 13, I count myself to be apprehended. For this one thing I do, forgetting the things which are behind, and stretching, reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press towards the mark of the price of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That's the word again, reward, parabellio. High calling of God, price. Are you listening? Are you following? Go back to 2 Timothy 2. So if a man, verse 5, also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strives lawfully. Crown is used for Jesus, for his work. Hebrews 2:7. Hebrews 2:9. Don't expect to see Jesus with something on his head, oh, please. Is that okay? As an earthly king. Hebrews 2:7. He crowned him with glory and honor and set him over the works of his hands. Hebrews 2:9. Glory and honor. He's not talking about a crown on his head. He's not talking about what? A reward or a price. Something given. Now that crown is to sit at the right hand of God. So it says he that strives for the masteries, which is labor, war, labor. So all the things, illustrations given before then contextually were on labor, right? Huh? Are you following? You know, nothing in this text has to do with moral anything. Nothing about moral living or immoral, which is important too, but nothing like that. He's talking about work. The kind of work that you do. So, in our God says, the Lord give you, verse 7, understanding, sunesis, that means to apply your intellect to this. That is, you have to apply yourself to this. So, in verse 10, he says, in verse 10, 2 Timothy 2, I endure all things for the elect's sake. So, he's talking about suffering for others. Not that malaria, I'm suffering. Or you lost, or you have a business contract that went bad. That's not what he's talking about though. He's talking about work, ministry work. And not talking about church attendance, amen? Huh? Okay. So, now we're going to apply, so having said that, so, the context of verse 11 to 13 is on what? What was he discussing? Suffering for what? Huh? The gospel. When you go out to preach the gospel, the things that you have to go through to take the gospel to others. Now, in the context of Matthew 10, was he also discussing sufferings? Huh? To his apostles. Where he says, if you deny me, I'll deny you. Was he talking about salvation denier or the work? So, just keep thinking. So now let's go to verse 11. So we have a background for verse 11 to 13. Do we have it? Talk to me now. Am I talking? Do we have a background? What's the background? Huh? Huh? The first background is that he's talking about ministry. Okay? Second background is that suffering for the work of the ministry. Let's put it in context. Suffering for others. Is that okay? So, it's not a reward. Is there a reward of keeping the law of Moses? No. A reward of living right? No. No. It's reward for the work of ministry. Let me say this without any apologies. The rewards in the Bible are for ministry. There is no reward for wearing long skirt and not making your hair. Except you did it for what? Ministry. Are you listening? Those who are doing those things so that they can please God are living in self-righteousness. They are living in sin consciousness. Somebody listen to what I'm saying. That's why Paul will tell you, look, if somebody tells you, somebody who is weak in faith, and he says this meat belongs to idols, say, don't eat it for his sake. He said, if you chose to ignore the person, he said, you sin against him, and you sin against the church, sin against Christ. So that's what he was talking about. So, whatever we are doing that is worth rewarding is what we do for others. Are you listening? Is this clear? Very well. So, now, let us now take it. Now, there's something called, it's a chiasm in the Greek, chiasm, that's C-H-I-A-S-M, not a Greek word, that's a grammatical term. Whenever you have a saying like that, I say it's either a poem, a hymn, or a saying. So definitely, it's a literary work. You get it? It's like a quote that we need to understand how it is used. The Bible is a book, okay? It has literary terms. One of it is verse 11 to 13. So you must understand what he's saying. So what we're going to do is this. I'll divide it for you later. How do I go about this? Okay, let's first of all take it from this point. Look at the first thing he said. If we be dead, we shall also live. Notice what "im" is not in the original, but it's relevant. You see, we shall also live. Now, dead how? Of course, when it says dead with, okay, and live with, it means dead together. Are you there? Are you there? Dead together. That is, if we are dead together, we'll live together. Physical death or identification in Christ? That's clear enough. So, that text we're talking about salvation. Come on. Right? The Greek word there, sunapotnespo, don't worry, I'll spell it. Sunapotnesko. Sunapotnesko. Let's see where it's used. Dead with. The word live with is suzao. Where you have Zoe, right? Live with. So where was that used? Romans 6. Dead together, live together. Romans 6. So the if there, conditional, or definite, or possibility. Huh? Hey, now, talk now. Romans 6. Verse 8. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe we shall also live with him. Romans 6:8. Same thing? Is that the same thing? Is that the same thing? 2 Corinthians 7:3. What is sunapotnesco? 2 Corinthians 7:3. I speak not to condemn you, for I have said this before, that you are in a house to die and live with. That is, use that in literal terms. You know, in spiritual terms with the church at Corinth. So, when it says, live with, live in, Romans 6, verse 10, in that he died unto sin once, in that he lives unto God. Romans 6, 10. So, the context of that is salvation. Romans 6, 5. If we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we also shall in likeness of the resurrection. So, he's talking about the resurrection, right? Huh? Not eternal life in your spirit, though. Talking about resurrection. Are you following this? Are you listening to this? So, we shall live in the resurrection with him. So, definite? Is that definite? So, it's a done work. So, it's an aorist term. Paul, Galatians 2:10. I have been crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Christ lives in me. The life I live now in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. So, be dead with Christ will be what? Identification in salvation. So, anybody who believes the gospel was dead with Christ and will live with him. Is that okay? Is that clear? So that is sorted. So that is a possibility. So it's a faithful saying that if I believe the gospel, I will live with Christ. Is that a faithful saying? Okay. So don't jump. That is, this saying here, does it relate with endurance? Does it relate with what he was saying before about persecution and sufferings? No. Okay? Just follow his thoughts. No. This obviously explains the eternal security of salvation. We get with him, we shall live with him. Is that clear? Now, the second statement . So, is 11 clear? 11, works of faith. Salvation. 12, if we suffer, we shall reign. Yeah, I'm talking about suffering, right? If we suffer, that's the word endure. Right? Notice the word im is italicized. If we endure, we shall reign with, if we endure. So, what was he talking about? Endure for the elect's sake. Right? Come on. So, he has stopped talking about salvation now. He's not talking about ministry. Are you following this? If we endure, we shall reign. If we endure. Verse 3 and verse 9, suffering for the gospel's sake. We shall reign. Is a Greek word. No, basileia is Greek for kingdom. Right? Or am I right? So it has sum basileo. Sumbasileuo. Let's see first. Timothy, first Corinthians 4. So, 1 Corinthians 4, there's a Stephano if I endure. There's a price, which is typified in a crown. That means figuratively is seen a kingdom. Are you following me? That means it comes with authority. Something he's given. It's not a reward that you just eat like a chocolate and you walk away. Thank you very much. And they give you donuts. Do you understand? No. Look at this. 1 Corinthians 4:8. And you were full, now you are rich. You have reigned as kings without us. And who to God you did reign, that we also might reign with you. Look at that word reign. Same word. Now, so let's explain what he was saying about that reign. What is he talking about? 1 Corinthians 3, verse 11 to 15. Paul? For the foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man builds upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it. Every man's work. Work. Not works, work. Because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he has built upon, he shall receive what? A reward. Is that salvation or ministry? Thank you. 2 Peter 1, 11. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly unto the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So the word kingdom is mentioned. And he's talking about a reward or rewards in view. 2 Corinthians 5. Verse 8. We are confident, I say, and we willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Verse 9. Wherefore we labor, that whether be present or absent, we may be accepted of him. Verse 9. Salvation or reward? Huh? 2 Corinthians 5. For we must all appear accepted, dokimos, tested, tried, and proven. Is that okay? Look at this. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, which is called Bema seat, reward seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in the body according to that which he has done, whether to be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men that we may be made manifest unto God, and trust that we are made manifest in your conscience. Knowing the terror of God, we persuade men. So he's again talking about ministry. Now when he says Bema seat is understood by the Greek as that platform people come when they are running a race and they come to collect medals. And in the empire then, when they give you a medal, you become an elevated citizen. When you use Bema or Stephanos, you have an elevated status in the society. So therefore, when a believer is that rewarded, he is elevated. That is why ministry gift is not the elevation, it's just work. What is the elevation is when you do it well, and then you are rewarded. So will there be rank in heaven? Definitely. Definitely. There's order everywhere. We are all not going to be the same in heaven. We are all the same in Christ, but not in heaven. In heaven, we will be ranked according to our works. Look at that example Jesus gave Matthew 5 about faithful stewards. And he said that the faithful one was given cities. Enter into the joy of the Lord. He was given cities, a reward for being faithful. So it's the same thing. So, in this context, when he said to reign, that's what he's talking about. You have authority over things. You have things to yourself, things to your name, things you are over. Are you following this? Are you there? Romans 14:10.
Why do you judge your brother? Why do you set at naught your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ.
Talking about believers. The judgment seat of Christ. The Bema seat. So there are some believers that will receive nothing. They will stand and focus the loss. There will be nothing. They are saved though, but there will be nothing. Now, when God says there's a loss, no, there's a loss. Not loss of salvation, but loss of reward. That means that all believers ought to be rewarded. But not all believers will be rewarded. So, look at what he says. Is this getting clear? Huh? Is that getting clear? 2 Timothy 2. What will happen if we suffer? If we suffer, we shall what? Reign. That is, we shall be rewarded. Is that what it means? Now, if we deny, is the word "him" there? No. If we deny. Now, if we deny what? The word, thank you very much. The word "deny" is a Greek word. It's actually a verb. Anomai. It means to say no, to refuse. So, if we refuse what? If we refuse to suffer. Because the Bible says it is given to all by God on the account that we may suffer for his name's sake. If we now refuse it, he will what? He will what? Huh? He will refuse us what? Is that clear enough? Is that clear enough? We're already living eternal life. So we're there. Now, did you so you have believed, you passed believing. You will live. But living in eternity does not mean you will reign. In this context. Are you following this? Are you following this? So, he's saying, you believe, you are passed from death to life. Is that clear? You suffer, you will reign. You say no to suffering, he will say no. Are you following? You are not going to hell. But you are in heaven's hell. Are you following this? So if we deny suffering, he will say no to rewards. Don't forget, we already have eternal life. Eternal life is not a reward. It's a gift of faith. Are you following this? Are you following this? So, if you deny me, will be denying me of what? If you deny to suffer for my sake, I will deny you. Is that clear? Not that I will take back my salvation. Deny will mean there is something that should come for you. You're already saved, but I won't give it to you. That is why Paul says he will suffer loss. You can't suffer loss of what you should not have come. So you will suffer loss. What should come to you will not come. That's why I teach people that the reward of giving on earth is not seed. All this nonsense seed they are doing. That's not the reward of giving. It's ministry. That's why Paul said to the rich. He said, what you are doing, you are laying a foundation in eternal life. That's what he told them. You are laying a foundation. That's what you are establishing something for yourself. They are already rich. Not that they laid a foundation for a house of another land. No. Say, tell the rich in the world that they should be rich in good works. They should communicate, they should minister with their money. Say, they will lay in store for them. Are you following this? Are you listening? That's why Jesus said that. He said, you put your treasures where thieves cannot. So what they say that when you give in such a way, you cannot steal your money. Stop that nonsense. Stop that nonsense. Jesus is referring to something in eternity. Treasures. So when we give, there is a reward for it in eternity. It's awful people teach Christianity. Imagine if we remove eternity away from what we have believed. We are of all men miserable. That's what Paul said. He said, if only in this life, he didn't say we don't have hope in this life. He said, if only in this life we have hope, we are of all men miserable. Are you following me? You know, because some people overemphasize heaven, they almost broke heaven down. Some people now remove heaven and we sit on earth like Jehovah's Witness. But eternity is in view. Are you listening? So when you say eternal life, it means two things: a possession and then a future life. You get it? Aha. I've taught you that before. So if we believe not, yet he abides faithful, he cannot deny himself. Now, wait. Let's take it. We want to separate sentences. We'll use A and B. That's what is called a chiasm in grammar. A and B. A will be, if we die with him, we shall live. A. That's together. Okay? If we endure, we shall reign. That can't be together. Because one is talking about salvation, the other is talking about works. So we can't put that together. So, if we deny him, he will deny us. Which of the statements does that one go with? Does that go with the first one? The second one. So, A, B, B, right? Are you getting this? Are you following? It's a literary work. A, B, B. Okay? So, we can start that. A, B, B. So, the last one will be, if we are what? Huh? That word is, if we are faithful. He will abide. If we are faithless, sorry. That is, if we are not faithful. The word is apistio. It means to betray. When you betray somebody's trust. That is, something was committed to your hands and you betrayed the trust. It was talking about being faithless anyway. You are not faithful. So it says, we can say, if we are dead, we live with him. If we are not faithful, he remains faithful. Faithful to what? That is, you betray his trust. What would mean to betray his trust? You are not trustworthy. Right? You are not faithful. It's required of stewards that you be found faithful. I am not faithful with the call. I am not faithful with the work of ministry. Just like Paul says that after I preach of God, I became cast away. You are not faithful. He says he will not deny himself. Okay? He abides faithful. Faithful to what? Why are you prevaricating? Faithful to what? Faithful to deny you reward? Abba. Eh? It means you remain saved. That is A. A again. That relates with A. B, B. Do you understand? First amendment is A. Second amendment, B. Third, B. The last one is A. So, if after we are dead, and we have lived our life, we are now not faithful, he cannot deny himself. Do you understand? Are you following? That's why 1 Corinthians 3 says that there is nothing, there is no work of your life that God is proud of. He said everything. That all the works they want, he himself will yet be what? Saved. By who? By Jesus' suffering. He abides. Is that okay? Is that clear? So,
always know where, what the different statements, what they relate with. So I'm just saying that the context is not morality, but faithful service.
Huh?
Are you there? It's not morality. You can even be very moral and you are unfaithful. Is that not true? But you should be moral and faithful. Amen? Amen? You can be so moral. You know, you have very decent Christians that don't pray. They don't do evangelism. Very neat. Then they say that there's almost 10 examples of a guy. That the guy, he owns industries that come and look at him. That the guy, that they know him, is like straight as a ruler. And all that. I said, to what intent and purpose? What is his deeds? What benefit is it for the gospel? He's collecting award all over Nigeria. That is, his reward is on earth. And has gotten it. Does he pray for other saints? No. Does he even give? He said, no, that he just gives jobs to people generally. No. He employs. Okay? He can do some kwekwe charity, you know, and give people money. You know, and all that. Yeah, but does he give to the work of the gospel? You went to do CSR. You were tying road. Who says tying road? When he said the government shall be upon his shoulder, you think he's talking about local government? You are tying road. Somebody told me, he said, I said, write it down. By the grace of God, I'll pastor this church for at least 60 years. I said, you will not find us as a church doing CSR projects. Some say, give back to society. I said, you have to give back. You've collected seed from people and their salaries. You must give back to society. You took from society. Bible says, taking nothing of the Gentiles. We didn't take. You took, give back to them. No. You will focus on the church, on the body of Christ. Individually, you can do it, though. I do it individually, as an individual, but you, as a church, our responsibility is the church. God did not tell believers to be giving the local church for CSR. So, the context of this is not morality at all. It is faithfulness in service. Is it clear? So, can we have a believer who will abide faithless? Huh? And is a believer. He has believed. But his lifestyle after that is not consistent. Right? And Jesus will abide faithful. He cannot deny himself. Who is he? He is the Savior. He can't deny himself. Are you following me? Uh-huh. But he will deny you of reward, though. Don't say you can't deny yourself. Nah, bro. No. That is works. Is that text clear? Are you sure? 2 Timothy 4:7. Then take a short break. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Is he saying I have kept salvation? Nope. I have kept the word. I have kept the doctrine. I have kept the message. The word keep is the same word, tereo, T-E-R-E-O, used for observe, to watch over. You know, you have the responsibility to watch over. And I was seeing someone yesterday, and I saw the eyes of the ministers open black. Pop! I said, don't use faith carelessly. Faith is not just believing God for things. Faith also is doctrine. And as I see many of them use the word, fight the good out of faith, or fighting the devil, I say it's not that. It's doctrine. Doctrine. Fight the good fight of the word, of preaching. That's what he's talking about. 1 Timothy 4:8 or 4:6. If you keep the brethren in remembrance of these things, you will be a good minister of the Lord Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith that is good doctrine. 1 Timothy 4:12. Be an example of the believer in faith. That is your conduct. Titus 2:2, the aged men, let them be sound in faith.
1 Timothy 6:12, fight the good fight of faith. Why? Because he has said, the love of money is the root of all evil, which some, when they coveted after, have heard from the faith. That is talking about ministers. They have heard from the message. So, faith refers to the message. When he says, I have kept the faith, I have kept the message. Do you understand? I have made sure that nothing was taken away from it, and nothing was added to it. Are you following? So, it's not every time you read faith, that you read about salvation. Is that clear? So, it said, laid before me. That means Paul is talking about, he didn't say, I have believed Jesus. I have kept the faith. I have finished my course. Everything he said there is ministry. So, the crown is for ministry. It's for ministry. Are you listening? Acts 14:22. Are you getting clear on this? Okay. This is Paul speaking, verse 21. And when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and Iconium and Antioch, confirming the soul of disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. They are already saved. Okay? So the kingdom of God used here is exactly what we have been saying. Through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. The Basilia, the reign. What's he referring to here? James 1:12. Anyone who endures temptation shall receive the crown of life. Shall receive the crown of life. The truth is, why many people have a problem? You see, when I wanted to pause this particular series. I want to talk about the churches in Revelation, but I said not now. I want to lay a foundation before we get there. You know, I normally like to lay a foundation. So when we get there, you won't have space at all. The problem there is that many people who teach about grace and salvation hardly focus on works. So when they get to where there is works, they think there's a problem. Ah, this looks like they're reward. I will speak out of my mouth. He said you lose your salvation. He didn't say that. You are the one that thought that was what he was saying. Speaking out of your mouth already tells you the figure of speech. Now you have to find out what it means. You are neither ought nor cold. That's not salvation. That's works. Are you following what I'm saying? So when we get there, just leave it. When we get there, you understand. Don't go and there, and before you know it, you'll be spilled out. So just be patient, okay? If you are learning something, you listen to the person who is teaching you. Is that okay? Aha, you just relax, okay? Don't rush. If you rush, you come back here and you hear it again. So they don't talk about this. So they will get to a computer. I know. That's why they thought that James was anti-faith. Whereas, it's because they did not understand what James was talking about. You cannot teach grace and not teach works. Paul was a teacher of grace and was a teacher of works. Not works of the law. Don't see the work, what works, and start getting paranoid. He was telling me, he said, it's not about prayer. It's not about prayer. He said, we don't pray to make things happen. We pray because it has happened. What does that mean? I pray because it has happened. What has happened? Paul says, I pray that the eyes of them be enlightened. Yeah, has that happened? So, that the Lord Jesus, 2 Timothy 4:8, I'll close on this. He said, he will not give to all believers. The brother once shared that. And I said, no. Don't say that kind of nonsense. He will give at that day, not to me only, but all them that love is appearing. All them that love is appearing. That word love is esteem. Sacrifice is to esteem is appearing. Esteem it. Not every believer that esteems it. That means they look forward to the judgment seat of Christ. They are already believers. So their conduct looks forward. It's esteemed. That word esteem means to look at something. They are looking at it. When they are giving in church, when they are praying for others, when they are serving, when they are, you know, when they are passing through to me, you know, they are looking at it. That brother that ran away, that the story I heard about Russia, he didn't love his appearing. He just said, you all left, and the soldier came. And I thought, does it mean the soldier is saved? They just have died. Do you understand? If I give my body to be burned, and I have no love and nothing, I don't know what he did. He's the only one that can explain what he did. But the one that ran away is saved. Say, he denied Jesus. Forget that. Jesus said to Peter, I have prayed for you. What did Peter do? You know the progression. He said, I saw you. And he said, I don't know what you are talking about. The guy came back again. Another guy, we know you. He said, I don't know the man. He said, round two. Again, he now began to cough. He's like, excuse me, let me die. I said, I've never heard the man before. Do you understand? So, you get it now. Who denied Jesus? I don't know. Are you a Christian? No, I'm not. You've lost it. You've lost your salvation. You've only lost rewards. You're already saved. And it has just ministry of Jesus goes into eternity. Okay? Is that okay? I hope you are learning something here. That love is appearing. He used that word earlier, that word appearing. It's another Greek word, euphania. Epiphania, sorry. E-P-I-P-H-A-N-E-I-A. Epiphania. It's a glorious display. Epiphania. Obviously referring to the coming of Jesus. I charge thee, he used it earlier, therefore before God and Lord Jesus, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his what? Verse 1, 2 Timothy 4:1. Look at this. This is important though. I charged him before God. You know, he was talking to Timothy to ensure that he keeps the faith. He stays with the message. He said, I charged thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his what? That means the believers who are alive and the ones who are gone at his appearing. And what? So his kingdom is his what? Appearing, which is his judgment seat. Are you listening? So that kingdom is referring to, was referring to the judgment seat, okay, of Christ. Watch this. So when it says, and those that love is appearing, those that esteem it. Is it clear now? Is it clear? Mm-hmm. That love is appearing. You see him use it again, 1 Timothy 6:14. That thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Timothy 6:14. 2 Timothy 1:10. This is now made manifest by the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and has brought life and immortality to the gospel. Now, that word is talking about the rapture again. Titus 2:13, different one. Looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Lord Jesus Christ. So obviously he's referring to the reward seat of Christ. Nothing in that text invalidates the eternal security in salvation. That when a man is, when he believes the gospel, he is saved forever. He may become unfaithful. He may deny Jesus. He may do also. And go back to the mosque. Okay? That is if he's saved. He may still go back to the mosque and do some funny things. Or you see, and you say, my parents, no, they don't want me to. I know people like that. That they will go to the mosque. I was their pastor. You know? And I was just, but the thing that I helped them to see that, you see, you are born again, is because they couldn't bear suffering. They are just new converts. How many of you, you know, not everybody that can be like Paul now. They get born again, next thing they see you out of the house. You know, so but as they kept growing in the word of God, it was now clear that they had to hold their ground. You get it? At that point. So So that can happen. Some folks will first of all go back and do something, and then come back again and start, you know, they are just not faithful. You understand? But they have believed. And the minute they believe, Jesus assumes a function in their lives. From that point till eternity, is their intercessor. Amen. We'll take a break for 20 minutes. We'll see at 10:30. Good morning.